This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, visiting with Svetlana Skarbo. She is outside of Novosibirsk. This is Siberian Times. She's the editor and publisher. She's in a city called Akademi Gorodok, which means university town, academy town. However, her publication spans the whole of Siberia, present, future, and past. And let us combine the present and future and past together in Chukotka Island. Chukotka Island is a place where whale hunting is permitted in present and past. So first, let us speak of whale hunting today. As Svetlana, you tell me there's a mystery at Chukotka for the people who depend upon whales for their livelihood. What has happened?
Something really strange, and this we haven't actually even published because we're still studying the situation, but we're speaking to Russian marine biologists who are saying that there is something pretty alarming, is that among the gray whales, the people, both scientists and local indigenous people who are allowed to hunt them, they are reporting this so-called phenomena of the stinky whale. So it's a situation when a whale has a very distinct and very strong and to the point of being unbearable kind of medicinal smell to it. If you are near the whale while it's alive and it breathes at you, you'll feel the smell from the breathing. If the whale, if you hunt a whale and try to eat the male, actually the meat, that would be A, very unpleasant, and B, dangerous, because people who tried it among the indigenous people, they've developed pretty bad food poisoning. So as far as we know, at least one team of Russian scientists have spent this summer working at Chukotka. That would be the easternmost part of Russia, overlooking to Alaska, trying to take the taking the samples of the gray whale tissues in order to understand why the so-called stinky whale phenomena is happening. And as far as I know, they don't have an answer. They're calling for the collaboration with other scientists across the globe to try and understand what was going on.
So Chukotka is not an island. It's a vast canvas that is next to the Bering Sea. This would be what was once called Beringia. Is that correct? Where we're
That's looking correct. At? Like the land, the land crossing from current, what we have, the current easternmost tip of Russia into America. That's right. It was like a land bridge. Yes, across the Bering Sea.
The land bridge, a very famous land bridge if you live in North America, Svetlana, because that's where the people came from maybe 20,000 years ago, maybe 15,000 years ago. That's up to debate now because we found footprints in the white sands of New Mexico that say that people were here before the ice retreated the last time.
And you know what's the most fascinating question is whether if it was like a one-way travel or if people move both ways. In other words, after going from west to east, did they actually come back across to back to the east?
I offer you this analogy. Early America, the 17th century particularly, the people came from England. A lot of people, settlers into the colonies. But what I've learned in reading about them is that they were commuters. They went back and forth their whole lives. Sometimes they would return to their native home and stay there. Mm-hmm. In other words, they came to America for prosperity, and when they were prosperous or they sold their land, they'd go home. So we can presume what you're speculating is accurate, that you traveled back and forth between the old settlements and the new settlements.
I'm basing my speculation on the work of the Russian archaeologist at the Kamchatka Peninsula, which is, if you look at Chukotka, on the eastern side of Russia and then go south from Chukotka. So, at Kamchatka, the archaeologists are believing that they're finding the traces of, people, basically finding the evidence that something shows them that, what people have been making at the time looks very similar to what's been found in America. In other words, that it's not like, the archaeological findings at Chukotka, but it is, basically implying that people must have been bringing back what they have been doing in America and then back to Kamchatka, and that's how they've traveled. And that's how Kamchatka must have been populated. I mean, that's one of the theories, at least.
Let's stay in Chukotka, because an article that you published just recently about the flying people of Chukotka. This is wonderful. 2,000-year-old art on stone. This is art on the side of what looks to be a cliffside. And all of the figures, I'm looking at five figures and one animal at least, have their arms upraised. Why are their arms high? Why do they think so?
We think they're dancing, and we think that it's not a coincidence that there's something reminding the a mushroom cap on their heads. So it must have been like a ritual dance under some pretty strong substances, of which, well, 2,000 years ago, that would be those mushrooms, which is why they are portrayed like this and why the scientists have called them mushroom people. So that's and actually what's interesting is that we don't know who these people were. We don't know much about them. So it's just the very beginning of study that goes now into, thanks to those rock paintings, those petroglyphs that have been studied by the scientists, that we're now going to try and understand what's been going on there so long ago.
2,000 years is just yesterday. I mean, that's the Roman Empire. So
Yes, true.
And we're looking at something that has just been discovered, so we can believe they have ancestors. And maybe the questions as to whether they were commuters will be answered. But from here, because your site is so wonderful, from here, I want to go to an island. This time it is an island, Kotelny Island, the world's northernmost Paleolithic settlement found on Kotelny Island 26,000 years ago. That is before the ice retreated. So this is the other side of Beringia.
That's true. And we're actually waiting for the expedition, because they've just been telling us, about a month ago, that something have been found to confirm that, basically, because in the past what was been found there was those tiny pygmy mammoths. And we thought, okay, well, if the mammoth bones were found there, must have been that there would be people as well. Because usually humans would be following the mammoths, because obviously there's so much food and other useful things that come with them. And looks like finally this summer expedition have found the evidence, and we are still waiting for the publication with like every detail of it to come from the Northeastern Federal University.
This is 75 degrees 20 seconds north, 141 degrees east. It's north. I mean, this even the ice must not have retreated around Kotelny Island.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, remember that we would have different climate that number of years. What is it, 26,000 years
right,
ago?
Right.
And we should hear from them. I mean, based on the analysis of their finds, we should actually hear more about the climate at the time and precisely what they found. But it sounds, I mean, we don't have much actually to say yet, but it sounds utterly fascinating that people would be going that high. That high following the mammoths into the Arctic, into what we know now as Arctic.
Right. They have found lots of mammoth bones. There's one reconstructed in a photograph. Everyone can go to the Siberian Times to see the photographs of the mammoths. But the presumption is that the mammoths were butchered, and therefore people were accustomed to hunting mammoths this far north. 26,000 years ago, this is clearly no debate. This is before there were people in North America. So these are ancestors, or in some way preceding the settlement of North America. I want to go from Kotelny Island, because the Siberian Times is a rich resource of discoveries. When it gets cold, things are preserved. We go from 26,000 years ago to 4,000 years ago. This is a wonderful...
Like a time machine. Yeah.
4,000 years. In other words, nearly modern. This is a wonderful story of a geoglyph, which means a cave painting, in this case, of a bull. What do we know? This is a very large bull painting, and it predates anything we've found in this style. What is it representing?
Well, it's been found actually, yes, we go really far south from Caselli Island. We move into the Republic of Tuva with lots of mountains, and it's pretty remote. And if you imagine Moscow, it'll take you like, what, 6-5 hours to fly from Moscow to the Republic. And it's been discovered by the again this summer's expedition where I guess lots of interesting results from all the expeditions coming back from different parts of Siberia. So they found the backside, the hind legs and the tail of a giant bull they say that more than 4,000 years ago, so there would be early Bronze Age that will take us to, and sadly the head which they reconstructed by you can see it. I mean, sorry, I can't show you the picture, but you can see it on the website.
Right.
So the front part of the geoglyph has been destroyed when people were building the, I mean, not intentionally, but by accident when they were building the road in 1940s, I think. Sadly, but what they're trying to do now is they're trying to make sure that this is now preserved as it's been. I mean, the front part of it will be rebuilt, and I think it's going to be preserved for people to come and see, because indeed this is a very, I think, exciting discovery from so long ago.
Yes, 4,000 years ago, we're looking at early bronze here, and you can quite clearly see a very good representation of a bull. And then there are suggestions that there was a lot of artwork here, but there's very little time to spend in this particular, because now we're going to 3,000 years ago. And this is fabulous. It's jewelry. As Svetlana calls it, the Lady of the Rings. These are quite lovely. They were found in an area where, I'm going to guess there was more, display. This is a very sophisticated presentation. What can you tell us about the jewelry? Are they looking for more of this?
Yes, and I like the speed we're moving across the centuries. So what we know about this discovery is that about 3,000 years ago, or nearly 3,000 years ago, there was quite a wealthy and obviously stylish woman who was laid to rest in for stunning bronze rings and a really big bracelet which covers her wrist, like a really white, nice looking. I would easily imagine it on the daily, on like, I don't know, any fashionista of our days. What's interesting is that actually this set of bronze jewelry looks like that it was made only for the final journey, so only for the afterlife, that it hasn't been worn during her lifetime, even though obviously she was quite a stylish woman. And so this was made for her to be put into her grave. And the archaeologist said that usually you would see if the jewelry has been worn, then you would see little traces of it being used. So in this case, this obviously hasn't been used. So it's a special set to travel to the next destination.
Yes, it was in her grave, but it's quite lovely, and it can be worn today. The bracelet and the rings, all very.
I would definitely wear it. Yes, it looks really stylish, and you can see that it can be redone now by I don't know, any fashion house now.
This is the Republic of Kakassia. Do I say that correctly? And that's
Kakassia. Yes, with us.
Is that south of you in Novosibirsk?
Yes, it's called Warm Siberia for its climate, because it's a sunny, very sunny place in the mountains, really beautiful. We've lots of kind of different climate zones as well, but lots of discoveries, especially for some reason from the Bronze time that we can report.
I'm speaking to Svetlana Skarbo. She's the editor and publisher of the Siberian Times. We've been taking a quick tour of the archaeology, as Svetlana says, that is coming back from summer expeditions. When we come back, What about Siberia in climate change? There's a big meeting coming up in Glasgow. Is Siberia looking for guidance for leadership about climate change to challenge the way of life for the last 26,000 years at least? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.